Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
So good morning, Roxanne. How are you?
Good morning, Regina. How are you doing? How are our listeners doing?
I'm great, and I hope our listeners are great. It's hard to believe we're coming to the end of July.
I know. It just goes by so fast. Can you believe it? We only have like 5 more months till the end of the year.
That's crazy. But we're enjoying every moment of it, right? Because this is my favorite time
of
year.
And it's summer break with the kids. Hope you're having a great time. And we're speaking to an organization that has certainly helped kids and just everybody in the community of the High Desert.
That's right. And I'm really always happy to see this lady and just be in her space and kind of soak up her energy. Because, you know, I don't think no is in her vocabulary, right? And she always gets it done, always gets it done. So Christina Kennedy has served as the president and community relations coordinator at High Desert Second Chance and High Desert Food Collaborative. And for those who this may be the first time they're hearing about High Desert Second Chance, it is the only centralized food bank in the High Desert. Do I have that right, Christina?
Yes.
Okay. And they have approximately 97 partners or so.
Ooh, we're almost at 125.
Partner agencies, which they supply food and supplemental supplies to.
And they do so many different events in the High Desert, too.
Yes. And I was just going to say, Roxanne, they've got like, I know this number probably has changed too, but about 11 different programs.
Yes. The 11 programs will not change.
Okay. There's like 11 various programs, such as health and wellness classes, programs for students, services for seniors and veterans, and different services and programs for local low-income families. They pride themselves on being a 100% recycling food bank, meaning nothing goes to waste. And we want to say welcome to Christina Kennedy to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne.
Welcome.
We absolutely love having you here. And so today we want to have you share with the community the projects and seasonal events and activities that you guys have going on.
Yeah, we still have summer going on. So what is happening, Christina?
Yay, thanks first for having me here. I appreciate it. So High Desert Second Chance, yes, we have a lot of programs operating throughout the year. In fact, during the summer months, we did launch our student lunch pantry, but it's actually a market-style setting.
Oh.
Because we did not receive funding last year for this year's student lunch program, we actually pivoted the style and structure of the program. So it's more of a market setting for the kids. Mm-hmm. We actually make it like a whole grocery trip for them. Everything down to they get a basket, grocery bags. They get to walk down and pick and choose the items that they want. But I am very prideful about our food bank is that we do have a healthy habits model. So we focus more on fresh produce and vegetables for our families because we realize we serve 124 partner agencies right now that serve low-income families throughout the High Desert region. It goes all the way from Barstow, Wrightwood, Trona. They all come out and they receive supplies from us.
Wow.
So if they're distributing items that are high in sodium, high in sugar, they're promoting diabetes, heart disease.
Right.
So we created a healthy habits model for our food bank and for our partner agencies to receive 70% fresh fruits and vegetables. They get 20% low in sodium, low in sugar, dry goods products, shelf-stable items, and then 10% refrigerated products.
And what's so great about that is in a lot of those communities that you mentioned, they don't have access to fresh fruit and produce and those things, right? And so you're being able to provide that gives them access to that in communities that really are very under-resourced in that area, right?
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, and I love seeing, we actually just, for right now during the summer, Our student lunch program is operating every single Monday from 10 to 2 p.m. And families come out. They take their kids to do their grocery shopping. And we always say it like that. They're going grocery shopping.
Okay. Yes.
Part of that is that we create recipes from the items that are being distributed that day for the families so that the kids can enjoy themselves at home by creating these,
yes.
these the dishes for themselves.
And it just promotes those different, you know, those
yes.
habits, those healthy habits that they can take as they get, you know, through school and later in life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us because our kids hold us accountable, right?
Yes.
So they hold us accountable for making sure that we're all eating well.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Christina, do you have to sign up for the grocery or is it just
the whole family
can do that or how does that work?
So for the first time use, the family does need to register if they don't have the kids present with them, which we always try to encourage them to bring the kids with them. But I know if kids are in summer school or if they're, you know, not able to attend, they're sick or whatever's, then we have the parent register the kids. And we just need that registration the first time. The parent will always check in with their photo ID. We have a record of how many kids that they have in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just go ahead and do their grocery shopping.
So each child can go grocery shopping?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and we push, we do like, you know, try to make sure that they understand it. To let the kids shop because it's a fun experience for them.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Like they love it. Yesterday's distribution, we gave out refrigerated grocery bags. They had fun with that. It was
nice.
Cute little summer bags, and
yes.
the kids filled it up. I haven't promoted the pictures yet. I'm going to get them out this, hopefully sometime this week. But the kids loved it, and it's been growing more and more. We're doing about 1,500 families every
wow.
week.
And it's only Monday, correct?
Only Mondays,
and
yeah.
So while this program for the summer has basically come to an end,
mm-hmm.
you do this type of program throughout the year, though, right?
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Anytime families or the school districts are out for holidays, during summer, winter break, we do offer the student lunch program. So the next one will be coming up in November.
Okay.
During Thanksgiving break, the 2 weeks that they're mm-hmm. off, the families are able to pick up on those Mondays at our site. They need to make sure to follow our Facebook page, our Instagram, or even our website because we always announce the starting date.
Okay.
And then Christmas break will be the next one, and then spring break as well. And then we go right back to summer again.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And so before we let you go, you did mention that you've got, is this your first gala?
Yes.
This is your first
the
gala.
Most, yeah. The
most. So tell us about that and give us a date and how
yes.
we can get tickets and all of that.
Yes. So it is our first ever fundraising gala that we're holding, but it is also an opportunity for us to recognize individuals in our community, which I'm excited to do. It is going to be on Saturday, November 15th, and it's being held at the Victor Valley College Event Center, which
wow.
is beyond beautiful.
Yes.
We did the tour of it. Beyond excited for it. It is called a Taste of the Islands Gala because what we are doing is we're bringing in a taste of the island here to the High Desert region. We have a beautiful dance group that is coming from Las Vegas. They are very well known.
Wow.
Hot Lava. So they will be performing everything from a fire dance. So we had to make
wow.
sure we had the permits for it.
Wow. Okay,
and then it is going to be, of course, completely island themed with a delicious menu created by Best Choice Catering. And then,
him.
Of course, yes, our Masters of Ceremony, Pastor Paul. He is from High Desert Church, and
yes.
he's my pastor.
Yes. Okay.
But he's going to be the one presenting. And, of course, again, we are doing the Arbor of Hope Awards. And this is, again, to recognize individuals within our community. And then Miss Regina Bell is one of them.
Yeah,
and we will
you.
Be making all of the announcements in the next month. So
yeah.
we're excited
wow,
for it.
This sounds awesome.
I'm excited.
This is open.
And I'm not just
okay.
excited because I'm being honored, which I'm just humbled about, and I won't even go into that. But I'm excited for you because of the vision of what this organization has grown into being and how you are serving our community in a very much needed way.
Thank
and
you.
I can only imagine what's going to happen over the next year or two as things are shifting and changing, and you know, we're all trying to figure it out and adjust, and
mm-hmm.
You have established the High Desert Second Chance as a pillar. You're definitely a pillar in our community. And so we appreciate that so much. And anything that we can do to help support by getting the word out, by encouraging people to continue to support. And if they haven't or looking for somebody mm-hmm. to support, please think about it. I also believe you guys are one of the organizations that is a benefactor of Life's Church mm-hmm. event that's taking place in August. Is that right?
Not for this year. We were last year's.
Okay.
Yeah. And we were actually able to bless so many of our nonprofit partners all the way from Barstow and then all the way to Trona that received supplies for all of their street ministries, their clothing closets. It made such a huge difference.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
You guys are just amazing. And mm-hmm. I always say that this is just a great reflection of what we can do as community when
yes.
we come together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Christina, thank you for coming in and sharing. We are definitely going to see you before the end of the year because we're going to want to hear about all that wonderful thing that you do for Christmas.
Thank you.
But thank you for being who you are. Thank you for the wonderful family that you have brought here that continues to stand by your side, lift you up, support you, allow
you to
do what it is you do best. And then thank you to all of the staff
mm-hmm.
over there and the volunteers
yep.
who continue to show up day after day after day to
yes.
make sure that some of the most fundamental needs are being met. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I wanted to highlight that is that any nonprofit agency, they cannot do it without their volunteers. Their volunteers are the backbone, and we say it all the time. So I'm very grateful and thankful for our volunteers and our staff members that are so dedicated to the work that we do.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Roxanne, you know what? This is our second interview for today.
Yeah, it's time for another great interview, and we've got a lot of great information coming your way.
Yes. And I'm just really excited because this gentleman, Deputy Greg Jones, is a 20-year-plus member of the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. He is currently assigned to Sheriff Dykus's public affairs team.
Yes.
And he specifically gets to serve the High Desert. And I'm all for that.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
And earlier, I believe, this year, it was in May that Deputy Jones, you received the award for excellence in recognition of your leadership in launching the Blue Envelope program in San Bernardino County. Is that correct?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. And I believe that was from the Inland Regional Center that gave you that award?
I'll be honest, it was anonymous who nominated me.
Oh.
It was a great honor. It's a major county award, and I had no clue. But it was an honor to receive it.
Well, it was well-deserved. I will say that. It's very well-deserved. And so it's my honor, Roxanne, to welcome Deputy Greg Jones to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne.
Welcome back, Deputy Jones.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon.
And so you're here today because we're going to really talk about the Blue Envelope program. Which, as I understand it, is a voluntary program that helps improve communication between law enforcement and individuals with autism, dementia, anxiety, and other conditions that may require additional support. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. And so we had Sheriff Dykus on, Roxanne, I think it was in May.
We did.
And he briefly talked about the program, but today we want to do a little deeper dive. And so we got the man of the hour who can take us there, right?
Right.
And so we want to learn more about the program, who it serves and how. So let's start with that. The program is designed to serve who and why?
So the program is designed to serve any person with a communication barrier.
Okay.
Whether a person who falls under the autism spectrum disorder umbrella, whether it's somebody who's a part of the deaf or hard of hearing community,
okay,
the vision impaired, the blind, it's any person who might need assistance, an adapted device with communication. Not necessarily a language barrier, which
okay.
sometimes may happen,
mm-hmm.
but mostly auditory.
Okay.
Somebody who's nonverbal, or they may have a medical condition where their speech is slurred. It helps law enforcement and other organizations It helps people recognize that the person I'm coming in contact with needs some type of either patience. Mm-hmm. We need to have patience.
Okay.
Or we need to use some type of assisted device to assist with the communication itself.
Okay. All right. But it really is a way to give you a heads up that there's some additional something that's needed.
Yes.
Right? And so let's talk a little bit specific about those who are in that autism spectrum, right? How does this program work for them? What are kind of the elements and what do they need to have in order to be identified even that they are in that particular sector?
Well, first let me say that I am not an expert when it comes to autism.
Mm-hmm.
I rely heavily on community stakeholders and people who they live this every single day. I have been very fortunate and even blessed to be friends and to get information from Beth Burt, the mm-hmm. executive director of the Inland Empire, or the Autism Society Inland Empire.
Yes.
And Dana Hernandez with the Rocking Hard Disabilities here in the High Desert.
Yes.
The biggest asset is learning from people who deal with this every single day.
Mm-hmm. Great. So tell us a little bit about the program, because it's called Blue Envelope for a reason.
Yes.
So what is the Blue Envelope?
All right. So the Blue Envelope program is started back, was introduced to the program probably around 2023, mid to 2023.
Mm-hmm.
I was contacted by a law enforcement official in another agency in another part of the county, down in San Diego County,
mm-hmm.
and they asked if we had a program identified as a Blue Envelope, or did I know about the program because of the programs that I do here in this county under the sheriff or the sheriff department, specifically the Safe Return Program.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know anything about the Blue Envelope, and then the more they told me, the more it piqued my interest, because I believe that this program could definitely benefit all community members, every single person who comes into our county and even outside of our county, not just for law enforcement contact, but for in any contact whatsoever. So the program is designed. It is a light blue background with a white envelope, which gives the person who comes in contact with somebody, it kind of gives them a heads up mm-hmm. that if I was wearing any of the logos, decals, the bracelet, the lapel pin, the seatbelt cover,
mm-hmm.
That I have a communication barrier.
Okay.
It's self-disclosing. It's kind of it's an announcement, not very, hey, look, I'm nonverbal. Or, hey, look, I am deaf or I'm part of the deaf or hard of hearing community. But it does let the person receiving the information know that I need to either slow down my communication.
Right.
Have patience. Or I need to use some type of assistive device.
So it's a way to quickly identify that.
Absolutely.
And what were those items that you mentioned? There was.
It's going to be actually a lanyard that somebody could wear around their neck.
Okay.
A seatbelt cover, so when law enforcement comes in contact with somebody during a traffic stop.
Okay.
Or a contact when somebody's driving. A lapel button or a pin. I'm sorry. A ribbon or a bracelet.
Okay.
Or in stickers that goes on vehicles.
Okay. All right.
In addition to, there's the blue envelope itself is a 6x9 envelope that is used during traffic stops that the public can put inside their vehicle that they ever come in contact with law enforcement
mm-hmm.
during a traffic stop or if a person needs help, that person be able to display or hand over a blue envelope.
Okay. And then what's inside of that blue? Is there anything inside of that blue envelope?
Yes. We are requesting, law enforcement's requesting that the person can have a copy of the driver's license, a copy of the insurance card, copy of the registration, and any other identifying information that the person, the consumer, would like law enforcement to know or receive. On the envelope itself, there's information like their name, their identifying features, if they have a special medical condition
mm-hmm.
or if they have a condition at all.
Okay.
That person writes on the envelope and discloses that. It's voluntary.
Okay.
There's no registry database. There's nothing that says that they have to do this at all.
Right. Okay. All right. And then so that helps to identify and also assist that person who has made that stop for whatever reason to understand the nature of the person that they're dealing
yes.
with, right? And which I think in part that has been designed so that if there are triggers, for example, loud sounds, right?
Yes.
Or light, or those things that, especially for those who fall under that autism umbrella, that are triggered by, so that their behaviors, may not necessarily be what we would consider normal, right?
Yes.
But there's some explanation and identifying factor that could be a cause. So again, to your point, that law enforcement or whoever is making that stop would then be able to say, maybe I need to ask some further questions or just exhibit a little bit more patience in this situation. Do
yes.
I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm learning here and I'm trying to understand because I think that it's a really significant program and that it's much needed, especially here in the High Desert, because I know you know, Deputy Jones, we've had some situations here, particularly with minors who were autistic in varying degrees, and the outcome of that was not necessarily what any of us would have hoped for,
yes.
right? And so this is being put in place, hopefully, to start having conversations, to create awareness, to inform and educate. And so we can work together as community so that that never happens again. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I would even, on top of that, I personally do not believe that the Blue Envelope program is dismissing anything that has taken place prior.
Mm-hmm.
There's different incidents that have happened here in the High Desert. This is a program that helps communication style. It helps the public, the awareness, the most of all, it develops a conversation.
Yes.
In that somebody may have a loved one at home who is nonverbal, or they may be deaf or hard of hearing. And coworkers may say, you know what, I have a brother who is deaf. I had no idea. I saw the Blue Envelope, the keychain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I have a loved one also. And then it develops a conversation.
Yes.
It also will stem from a conversation that maybe law enforcement comes in contact with somebody while they're getting some food at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they come across somebody needing a medical assistance and that person has a Blue Envelope decal or something to display, it helps law enforcement know, hey, look, this person has a medical condition possibly, or they're nonverbal. I need to think about other resources on how to communicate effectively so I can provide help.
Right. And so with that, how can community get connected to getting those items?
Well, that's a great question. So our department has been working very hard, diligently, with the Autism Society, mm-hmm. Inland Empire, with the Inland Regional Center, and other agencies since we've launched, and that's our department launched in January of this year.
Okay.
But since then, even up to a year before that, there was focus groups that were being conducted by the Inland Regional Center, the Autism Society, and we've been putting on training classes.
Okay.
I say that because from putting on those classes and talking to families and educators and a service provider, that has spurred more conversation. Well, what about the medical field?
Mm-hmm.
What about AMR,
mm-hmm.
the medical response?
Mm-hmm.
What about other agencies that the Sheriff Department does, or cities that the Sheriff Department does not provide a law enforcement response? Which really kind of triggered more conversation on we need to be in more areas. And I say we, the program.
Okay.
And it really has assisted us. So I will say that one of the key aspects of this program is the Blue Envelopes themselves. Any person can go into any of the law enforcement stations, police station, sheriff station, that falls under the umbrella of the San Bernardino County Sheriff Department,
mm-hmm.
here in the High Desert. And they can go into any of the places and they can ask, can I have a Blue Envelope?
Okay.
There's going to be no questions about if there is a disability, if there is a communication barrier. Only thing they're going to say is, hello, how are you doing? And here is your envelope.
Here you go.
Now, there are some wearable items. Some of the stations have the items, some do not. Some of the stations are, and I say stations, it could be police stations from other agencies who have joined on to the program or have taken on the program itself. But also the Inland Regional Center has been a phenomenal partner about providing the wearable items and even doing pop-up events and training events.
Okay.
And those are being given out.
Okay.
So that's the key aspect.
So between the, here in the High Desert, between the local police departments, sheriff stations, an individual can go into and ask for the blue envelope, no questions asked. They will just be given that.
Yes.
And then if they want additional information to learn about any of the pop-ups or if any, you know, Inland Regional Center, for example, if they're hosting an event here in the High Desert, how would they find out about that? Could they find out through the Sheriff's Department's website? How would they find out?
Well, I would direct them to go to the Inland Regional Center's their website.
Oh, okay.
And their social media.
Okay.
And then the second, I would say to do the same with the Autism Society.
Okay.
As well as some of the other local providers or stakeholders.
Okay.
I had no idea how large this community actually was. And not just necessarily the High Desert community, but the special needs community.
Special needs,
The intellectual developmental disabilities community, the deaf and hard of hearing community. I had no clue, but from doing this program and being introduced to all these phenomenal people and organizations and community leaders, it really has exposed myself and also, I believe, our department, because we're starting more conversations on where do we need to do better?
Okay.
Is there more training classes that need to come up? So there's talks working with other agencies trying to develop more training material that hopefully we can introduce to our command staff, and they would see the value and the benefit in it.
But before you go, I know that recently we lost someone who was very near and dear and just a pillar of the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Under Sheriff Horace Bortwright passed away.
Yes.
And I know that he was very special to a number of us, a lot of us who had the opportunity to know him up close and personal, and a lot who we may not know him up close and personal, but his fingerprints on a lot of the positive touches that law enforcement has made in this community. And so I just wanted to give you an opportunity. Of course, our hearts and condolences and prayers go out to his family at this time. But I know that he was very special to you and a mentor to you.
Yes.
And so I wanted to give you an opportunity, if there's something that you would like to say at this point in time in his honor, I wanted to give you that platform.
Thank you. Retired Undersheriff Boatwright was an incredible man. I don't just say that. I truly mean that. I would not be where I'm at today if it was not for him.
Hmm.
I can actually and honestly say he was a true mentor, and not just to me, but to hundreds, if not thousands, of community members and people.
Yes.
I had no idea his true impact until you started hearing community members talk about the impact he has made. Our department, our sheriff has a program called the Sheriff's Information Exchange Committee. It's been around for roughly, I would say, around 30 years, approximately. Our undersheriff was a part of the initial group from our department side.
Mm-hmm.
The retired undersheriff, Boatwright, was a part of that. In addition to, he also was a facilitator and one of the staff for San Bernardino Valley College, their extended academy,
mm-hmm.
and a few other organizations. But his impact has been tremendous. He was a person that you could go to him and talk to him about anything, and he was always open to have a conversation. It was not about rank with him. It was about a human compassion.
Yes. And so today we want to honor him.
Thank you.
And again, our condolences and prayers are with his family, as they are with San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. It is definitely a loss for all of us.
Yes.
But his legacy will live on, and we indeed have been made better by knowing him. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. We'll talk to you next weekend.